Go with me over to the book of Matthew, looking at the narrative that leads into the nativity story. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. How many of you know that's a problem in any culture? Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." Shout that name Jesus out.
Jesus!
And here's the mission as well as the purpose and the meaning of that name, because he will save his people from their sins. Yes. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they'll call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Yeah. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And listen to these words, and he gave him the name Jesus. Right. Come on, shout the name out of you one more time, Jesus.
Jesus!
You probably know and understand the name Jesus literally means God saves, and it's derived from the Hebrew Yeshua, which comes from the Semitic root meaning to deliver or to rescue. This name was quite popular in Old Testament times as well as New Testament times. But in giving Jesus this name, there's something that's loaded, and it's not Mary alone that was pregnant with child. That name is pregnant with power.
All right. Yes.
And understand that today. That name Jesus gives us an insight into what he planned on doing, what God had ordained for him to do. You know, to the Hebrew mindset, names meant everything. Yes. And Rachel and Jacob were having their last child, which was named Benjamin. She, in her sorrow, wanted to name him the son of my sorrow. And basically, Jacob said, no, see, he's going to be called the son of the strength of my right hand.
That's right.
And so you see here it matters. And I just want to make this point before I move on. As men of God and families, you have everything to say about the meaning, mission, and purpose of your child by what you call them.
Right. Amen.
That mother will nurture and help produce what that child is named. But never name your child. And I'm not talking about just the sermon. I'm talking about what you say about them, what you call them, what you declare over them has everything to do with what they become.
That's right.
So make sure you take this lesson from Joseph and call them what the Bible says to call them.
Amen.
What we're saved from is critical here. He came to save us from our sin. You know, he also came to save us not just from the sin, but the results of that sin. Aren't you glad today that death, hell, and the grave are settled forever concerning you? You are on your way to glory, glory to God. He has delivered you from that. He saved you from those consequences. Sin brought the curse, and the curse brought spiritual death, and sickness and disease, and poverty and lack. He saved you from a ruthless dictator and master, for being a slave to sin is the way we were before. But how do you know we're now slaves to righteousness, and in Jesus we have the power to live this life. He saved you from that sin consciousness, where every day you walk around feeling down, depressed, filled with shame because of the things you have done, the things you have left undone. Aren't you glad you can trade that sin consciousness in for a righteousness mentality because of what he's done for you?
Yes.
The thief, the Bible says, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Aren't you glad Jesus came to bring you life?
Yes.
And life more abundantly to the full till it overflows. But the thief is out there. And he'll use things like your sin to bring destruction into your life. He'll use things like your choices to bring devastation into your life. And he'll use things like your own words to affect whether you walk in victory or not. How many say it's high time to shut the door on sin, bad choices, and wrong words?
Amen.
And shut the door on him. In 1 John 3:8, we see the purpose of God described for Jesus. For this purpose, the Son of Man was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Literally, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Shout it out. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And that's why you and I should not give him any place.
Amen.
Amen. Let's empower the Lord to do the things he wants to do in our lives. He came to save us from our sin and the results of that sin. Eternal damnation, sickness, disease, poverty, lack, confusion, despair, turmoil. When you call on His name, you tap into that salvation.
Amen.
And that's why we're talking about speaking that name today. The world says don't do it. The world doesn't like it. The world disdains it. The world, you know, thinks it's nothing special. That the reason they do so is because the enemy inspires them to treat it that way. Because today you're going to be reminded how much power is actually engrafted in that name. And I believe you'll speak it all the more.
Amen.
Amen. In fact, in Philippians 2, 9 and 10, the Bible says, so God raised him to the highest place. God made his name greater than every other name, so that every knee will bow to the name of Jesus, everyone in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Glory to God. Here's the bottom line. Calling on the name of Jesus brings salvation. That's how you got saved. Instead of the life, amen, and the devil longs to take away from us, the Lord brings life through that name and what that name represents. Here's the problem, though. A lot of people get that when they first get born again. But this was never designed to be a one-time shot. Call on the name of Jesus just so you can be saved. No, you call on Jesus when you need any aspect of this soundness.
Amen.
Any aspect of your salvation. Any aspect of what He purchased for you and for me. Romans 10, 13, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall what? Shall be saved. Raise your hand if you have ever called upon the name of the Lord and you have been saved. Yes, amen. Acts 2, 21, it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How are they saved? They call upon the name of the Lord. Acts 2, 38, and Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 4, 12, there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. This tells you through whom we are saved, and it also tells you how you are saved. You're saved through Him, and how you are saved is by declaring that name, confessing that name. And if you're sitting here today thinking, well, there's other ways to heaven, something else might come along, you know, maybe Christians are wrong about this truth. No, the reality is nothing else is coming along. There's no one else coming to save you from your sin. There's no one else going to show up and fix this sin problem. No one else is going to mitigate not just your sin, but the consequences of sin. There is one name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. No Jesus, no salvation. That's not being narrow-minded. That's not being arrogant. That's just being truthful with the gospel and being truthful with yourself.
Amen.
So if you're here today thinking, well, I'll just kind of hang out a little while, maybe it'll all work out. No, it's not going to work out unless you've called upon the name of Jesus. And all I can tell you is the clock is ticking. And the opportunity to call on that name is becoming less and less and less with every church service, with every sermon, with every ministry effort, with every day. The time is drawing near when there will not be the ability for you to call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you can today. Come on, say it. There's no other name. There's no one else. No one else is coming. Come on, let me say it again. No one else is coming. You reject Him, you lose everything. In 1 Corinthians 1:12, Paul talks about this church, the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. And are you glad today that you can say the same thing?
Amen.
Look at somebody and say, your Lord and my Lord. His name is Jesus. Come on, shout it out. Say, it's Jesus.
It's Jesus.
I believe the devil hates it when you do that, so do it again.
It's Jesus!
I mean, every once in a while, popular culture will, you know, line up with Scripture. And, you know, Carrie Underwood, one of her first big hits was Jesus Take the Wheel. Going home and I slide on ice and the first thing out of my mouth is what?
Jesus.
Jesus. take the wheel. Some of you have that same experience for real in life. Now, of course, you kind of backslid because the next song was about slashing tires and beating out headlights. Amen? And tired of that man treating her that way. I believe she'll figure it out, though. Glory to God. Amen? You're supposed to do the vandalism before you get saved.
Right.
Moving right along. Amen. No, in reality, she's a precious saint of God, unashamed of Lord Jesus Christ. I think it was a CMA Awards or a broadcast for country music where they told her and Vince Gill not to sing spiritual, emphasizing Jesus. And they both ignored, but they said, went ahead and sang it live anyway.
All right.
That's what we need, more people with guts. Amen. Not ashamed of Jesus. When Hollywood says don't speak it, when CMA say don't speak it, when the world says don't speak it, when the professors say don't speak it, we need to speak it all the more. Come on, shout it out, Jesus. Amen. Psalm 18:3, I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved by my enemies. By what? Calling upon his name. Again, to emphasize this, this was never designed to be a one-time thing, to call on his name whenever any dimension in your life is needed of his salvation. He brings wholeness and soundness and healing, forgiveness, restoration, preservation, and provision, deliverance. That's all part of the soteria that he purchased for you and me on the cross. And there's only one name that did it. Jesus. What happens when people call on the name of Jesus? Well, just like those lepers, they called on the name and were cleansed. And I'll tell you today, he'll cleanse you from all stains. You can be healed of whatever kind of leprosy has attached itself to your heart, to your mind, to your life. I think it was you were telling me, Sharon, about Aria, who you said, you know, if you're going to get that chocolate ice cream, you need to wear a bib because, you know, chocolate really, really stains. And she said to her, Aria, how old? 6 years old?
Seven.
She's seven, said to her, that's not the worst stain.
All right.
And she goes, well, what's the worst stain? 7 years old. Thank God for our Hope Harbor teachers and our Sunday school teachers. She said the worst thing was sin. And it is. But you call upon his name. He knows how to get it out, and you don't need OxyClean. It won't work. Amen. The thief on the cross cried out to his name, and he was welcomed into paradise. You need peace today. You need to go from one place to another. You need a supernatural transference in your life. Use that name. Peter began to sink and called out on the name of the Lord. He was saved from drowning. I don't know what you're drowning in today. Maybe drowning in finances or a physical battle or in despair, whatever the case may be. Cry out that name and see what he will do.
Amen.
One of my favorite stories is over in Mark chapter 10. What happens when a man cries out and refuses to shut up? You know, some of us need to shut up about certain things and speak up about other things. But this is one of my favorite stories in Scripture. In verse 46 of Mark chapter 10, then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples together with a large crowd were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout,
Jesus!
He didn't say Pharisee, teacher, Sadducee. He said what? He said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. I'm telling you, there's a culture, there is a consciousness in this world, there's a spiritual force that is telling you to shut up. And you need to shout out that name all the more, Jesus. Because when you do, salvation and mercy is released when that name is spoken the way it's supposed to be spoken. You say, well, it's just a few people in the world don't like it. No, the world doesn't like it, religion doesn't like it, and some Christians don't like it. Because they don't understand. They were cried out all the more. God is challenging you as Western Christians to speak that name all the more.
Amen.
Come on, shout it out. Say, Jesus.
Jesus.
Son of David.
You
have to understand that name is pregnant with power and anointing and authority and dominion, and you should use it, amen, every day of your life. Not just the day you got saved and forgiven of your sins. Amen. The same people that told him to shut up, cheer up, he's calling you. A bunch of hypocrites, make up your mind. Should I shut up or cheer up? Got up, threw down his license to beg and went to the Lord. And what did the Lord say to him? What do you want? Why did he stop? He stopped because he heard the name spoken in faith. He made a demand on the name Jesus, and he stopped. And I'm telling you, Jesus does the same thing today. When you make a demand on that name in faith, he stops. You are arresting his attention, and he's saying the same thing today. What do you want me to do? Something that lines up with his word, you can trust him. I want to see. And he went home with his sight restored. You may not have a sight problem today physically, but it may be spiritually. Maybe your vision is gone. Maybe you've been hit so hard, there's not much vision left. He is well able to do the same thing. Cry out, Jesus. He'll give you a dream back. He'll give you a vision back. He'll give you a purpose back. Come on, shout it out. Say, Jesus.
Jesus!
I'm telling you, when you say the name, it releases the mercy and the power of God. If I were the devil, I'd hate it too. The more we say it, the more people are going to get saved. The more we say it, more people are going to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. The more we say it, more people are going to get healed and delivered and set free. If I were the devil, I'd hate it too. So that means we'll just shout out all the more. Hallelujah. Say, Jesus!
Yes!
Yeah. They hate it. When they do use it in that world, they use it as a cuss word. We're not going to be told by the world or religion that we can't speak the name of Jesus. The Pharisees called the apostles in the early birthing of the church in the days of preaching the word of God. And they preached in the name of Jesus, and they forbid them to preach in that name. And he basically said, you know what? You consider what's right or wrong, but we're going to obey God rather than men. And that hour is upon us now, to obey God rather than men.
Yes.
Culture says, shut up, we need to speak it all the more.
Amen. Amen.
What happens when people call upon the name of the Jesus? They get their eyesight back, their vision back. There are people in this room right now that you haven't had much vision. You haven't dreamt much in a very long time. I'm prophesying to you, in 2025, you're going to become fully alive, and vision is being restored to your life. You're going to be so excited. You're going to be bouncing off the wall. You're going to drive people nuts with your vision next year. If you'll cry out in that name. But you know, there are barriers sometimes to that throne being opened by Jesus. Many people never get around to crying out and tapping that throne because of man-made barriers like religion and tradition and condemnation and even shame. But aren't you glad you've been delivered from condemnation and shame?
Amen.
And the scripture still says to come boldly to the throne of grace to receive help in time of need. And Jesus is the access point. That name is the key that gives you access to the throne room. You should use it all the time. You know, in Psalm 124:8 says, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Doesn't that encourage you?
Yeah.
If he made heaven and earth, I'm pretty sure he could help you out with your situation.
Amen.
Amen. But you know, sometimes you're in a place where, you know, you can't remember the 15 scriptures you memorized, and you can't seem to utter a word in prayer. And even sometimes it's hard for you to pray in the Holy Ghost in tongues. It's just something's not right. I want to encourage you this. If you'll just start shouting the name of Jesus, it'll make all the difference in the world for you. Why is that? Because when you speak Jesus, you do certain things. Certain things are happening that most of us don't think about. Because too many people see it as a name, you know, as something we're affiliated with because we're Christians. And who is our Lord? Well, it's Jesus. Jesus is Lord. But what does it mean when you say, when you speak, when you shout, when you say the name Jesus? What does that mean exactly? Well, speaking Jesus is speaking the Word of God.
Amen.
When you aim at your situation and you speak Jesus, you just threw the totality of the Word of God at that situation.
Amen.
Come on, shout out, say, Jesus.
Jesus.
Maybe you can't remember everything, but when you speak that name in faith, you just ram the Word of God right down the devil's throat.
Amen.
The totality of everything it speaks of and everything it promises. When you speak Jesus, you're speaking the incarnation. You're speaking the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension, and you're speaking the soon return of Jesus Christ. You're speaking that He is all powerful and He is timeless. I didn't realize I was saying all that when I said the name Jesus. Well, now you know. Every supernatural event in His life and the ones to come, you are declaring, you are speaking those. There's great power in that. When you speak Jesus, you're speaking the kingdom.
Hallelujah.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. When you square up that thing you're dealing with and you speak Jesus, you are speaking the kingdom come. Amen.
Amen.
And there's nothing more powerful than the kingdom of God. Everything else bows to it. When you speak Jesus, you're speaking the blood. I know of nothing more powerful you can do than lay hold of revelation of what the blood has done for you.
Right.
When you speak Jesus, you are speaking your redemption. You are speaking that you have been redeemed from the curse of the law. You are speaking that you have now been delivered from spiritual death unto eternal life. You have been redeemed from sickness and disease unto health and wholeness. You have been redeemed from poverty and lack to supply and abundance. You've been redeemed. You don't have to have it all figured out, but can you remember this? Speak Jesus.
Yes.
And you are speaking your redemption in that situation. No wonder the devil doesn't want us speaking Jesus. He doesn't want people being reminded of their redemption. He doesn't want people receiving the fullness of their redemption. Go ahead and shout out again. Say, Jesus.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus still speaks today for you and for me. When you speak Jesus, you're speaking the covenant. Every promise, the sacred and irrevocable covenant of God that He keeps to a thousand generations to them that love Him. When you speak Jesus, you're shooting the covenant of God at that situation. I don't know about you, but it's good to remember that God keeps His word. I said, God keeps His word. He's a covenant-keeping God. He's not a man that He should lie.
Amen.
Yes, amen. When you speak Jesus, you're speaking the love of God, the perfect love of God. And there's nothing more powerful. Our faith works by love. When you speak Jesus, you're speaking faith. You're sure of what we hope for. You didn't realize that, but just speaking that name releases the spirit of faith into that situation. When you speak Jesus, you're speaking dominion. As a child of God, you have authority. Maybe the devil's trying to convince you you have nothing. You're just a weak worm of the dust. You're a black-hearted sinner. No, you actually have dominion and authority. When you speak Jesus, you're speaking the way. You're speaking the truth. You're speaking the life. You don't know which way to go? Speak Jesus. You don't know what to do about a situation? Speak Jesus. You don't know what the truth is in a matter? Speak Jesus. It'll come to you. You don't have enough life in some area? Speak Jesus. Life will come to you. And keep doing it. Say it. Speak Him. Shout it out. Jesus. Come on. Shout it out. Jesus.
Jesus.
Matters, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Hallelujah. And Bartimaeus yelled Jesus. What Jesus heard was a demand on the word and the supernatural power, a demand on the kingdom, the blood, the covenant, the love of God, faith, dominion, and the way, the truth, and the life. When he said Jesus, everything that God has was released in that situation. The only sad thing is the people around them didn't tap into it because they didn't understand what he was doing. Amen.
Amen.
But how many of you do understand? Jesus is not a title. It's not just a name. It's the name above all names. And it is filled with power and dominion and anointing and authority. Amen. Shout it out again. Say Jesus.
Jesus.
But how we speak Jesus is just as important as understanding what it means when you speak the name of Jesus. First of all, speak Jesus with honor. Great respect. Amen. Don't suffer the name of your Lord being taken in vain or blasphemous. They're going to say Jesus Christ, it should be done with the utmost respect and honor. Out of your mouth, it should come with reverence and great awe. The world speaks it with contempt and disdain and disrespect. If Jesus' name appears in a script, Hollywood will do everything they can to remove that name. They prefer to use the generic terms like God or deity. But here it wasn't just some God that saved you. It wasn't some deity that moved into your heart and delivered you. It was Jesus that moved in. Amen.
Amen.
To isolate and to somehow ostracize that name from the culture is to disrespect him. But you honor his name above any in the world. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me, he says in Psalm 50, verse 15. Honor him but any name in the world. And even Christians have been tempted to put words and names on their lips that are higher than the Lord. No entertainer, no actor, no athlete deserves to be honored more than the name of Jesus. But it's not just out there in the world. No denomination. No church name. No preacher. No ministry should be elevated above the name of Jesus. Now I'm going to give you a tidbit of revelation here today that will help you. When God perceives that somebody honors the messenger more than the Savior, you're not going to see a lot of power operating in that church. And this is what it has become in the body of Christ around the world. It's not about our name. It doesn't matter what you're called. Shocking, but the Church of Christ are going to be sat right next to the Baptists in the banquet. That'll be fun to watch. And he's going to put the Lutherans right next to the Catholics. They can fight about con and transubstantiation. It's not the name of the church.
Right.
It's not the name of the denomination. It's not the name of a speaker. There's some church folk think, unless so-and-so is speaking, unless so-and-so is doing this, and I'm not going to receive it, I'm not going to go. Listen, you're missing the point. Where there are two gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst. If the word's going forth, your life can be changed, not by a man, not by a teacher, not by a preacher, by Jesus. We don't have the power. He has the power. We operate in delegated authority, but it's his name. And he said, if I be lifted up, not the denomination, not the church, not the preacher, if I be lifted up, I would draw all men unto me. How many would see more people drawn unto him in this area of the country? Lift up his name. Church is important to disciple and cultivate and train and grow us up. But when we begin to elevate and honor names over his name, we made a huge mistake. If we want to tap into everything I just described to you, that when you say the name Jesus, these things are in there. They're pregnant with that. You must honor his name above all other names. Give the greatest weight to it. Can I have a good amen?
Amen.
Come on, say it.
Speak Jesus.
With honor.
With honor.
Number two, speak Jesus with love, because that's the first commandment. Love the Lord your God, all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. But speak it with love, which means there needs to be a relationship. Speaking Jesus outside of a relationship with him does not mean all that much. And crying out to Jesus when you've been living for yourself month after month, year after year. Making every excuse in the world not to fellowship with him, not to be involved in his ministry, not to be involved in what he's called you to do. You come with a lot of reasons to do that, but the bottom line is you got to love him to appropriate that name. You cry it out in love, can have an amen.
Amen.
Say, Jesus, I love you.
I
serve you. I'm going to
walk with you.
It's incredibly important you understand this. A lot of people can say that name religiously and it doesn't mean a thing. But to say it out of a place of relationship. Amen. My wife calls me Art. It means something different than somebody on the street. When she calls me Angel, she's prophesying. It means something different if somebody else just generically says something like that. Why? There is a relationship there. And Jesus said this. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? Yeah. And he said in that day, many will, what? Say, Lord, Lord, did me not. What's missing there is that relationship. So you speak that name in honor, but you speak that name out of relationship. And if your relationship with him has gotten cold, what a wonderful time of the year to get it hot again. Amen. To get right with God again. Yes. To walk with him like you never have before. Best present you can give yourself this Christmas is a flaming relationship with the Lord. Put some starter on that, amen, and just light that flame. And be on fire again. Glory to God. Say it with me. Speak Jesus with honor. Speak Jesus with love. Number three, speak Jesus with appreciation. As you're crying out that name, you've been thinking about all the things he has done. Gratitude for everything he has done. Has he done anything in your life, church?
Amen.
I said, has he done anything in your life, church? Has he done anything in your life? Yeah. Great appreciation. When somebody is crying out the name of Jesus with a heart filled with gratitude, I believe he's all the more predisposed, amen, to show you favor.
All right.
Amen. How many can raise your hand and say he's done a lot for you this year? How many say he did a lot for you last year?
Oh, yeah.
How many know he's doing something for you right now?
Yeah.
Amen. He's always moving and active and alive in your life. We just don't always perceive that he's doing things because we have a way of telling him how to do his job. If you were on the job, then this would be happening. You know, some of you were protected by doors that he closed.
Right.
You have no idea what kind of demon was on the other side of that door.
Right.
Amen. Glory to God. But you speak it with great honor. You speak it with love out of a love relationship. And you speak it with great appreciation. Amen. Nothing worse than for God to do all these things for us and us not be active in our gratitude towards him. Number four, speak Jesus with faith. Yes. Believing he is able and willing. Yes. Some folks believe he's able. Oh, God can do anything. He's able. Bless God. Get your best, you know, holy voice there. God. I believe God can do anything. That's great. I agree with that. But you also have to have faith that he is willing. And that comes from a knowledge of his word. He's not just, you know, able to deliver you. He's willing to deliver you. He's not just able to heal you. He is willing to heal you. He's not just able to prosper. He is willing to prosper you. That's the difference. You cry out in faith. You know, Bartimaeus didn't cry out, I'll see if this works. No, he believed. He'd heard enough that he believed that if he cried out that name, he would receive. That he was not only able, he was willing. Say it with me. I believe
he is able
to do anything. He's also what?
He's also willing. Yeah.
Cry out. Speak his name with honor. Speak it out with love, appreciation, faith. And number five, speak Jesus with boldness.
Amen.
Say it, boldness.
Boldness.
Confidence.
Assurance.
Without fear.
Without fear.
Boldly.
Yeah.
In a crowd where they don't like it. Amen. In a group that prefer you just keep him to yourself. No, that's the problem. The Western Church is keeping him to ourselves. No, it's a time to rise up and cry out all the more. Boldly. When I tell you to shut up, get bolder. And speak it out with great confidence and assurance that everything we talked about that happens when you speak the name of Jesus is happening at that moment. Amen. He is the key. And there's great mercy available.
Amen.
There's great favor available to the people of God. Amen. You're about to see God move in very unique ways. And I believe this isn't isolated. You're going to see the emphasis placed more and more on that name. Who will join in that effort in our community
Amen.
And speak that name?
Amen.
I said, who will speak that name?
Yes.
I want you to just stand your feet and begin to praise that name. Will you do that? Just lift
yes.
your voice up to magnify that
Jesus.
Name.
Jesus.
Magnify that name. Magnify that name. Thank you, Lord. We bless your holy name, God. Worthy are you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be your name. Thank you, my Father. Glory to your name, Lord. Name above all names. Worthy to receive praise, honor, and glory. We bless your holy name, Lord. We bless your holy name, God. We bless your holy name, Father. Blessing and honor and praise are yours. Thank you, Father.
Jesus!
Thank you,
Jesus!
Thank you,
Father. Thank you, Jesus! Jesus!
Glory to your name.
Jesus.
I want you just to bow your heads for a moment. And I really believe that the thing the Spirit of God would have us, you know, zero in on right now is the condition of that relationship. You know, people can look at us and they can think, well, you know, they're on fire for God. Everything's good with them. Everything is joyful and merry and walking with God and they're at peace with God and doing what God's told them to do. And, you know, Jeremiah made it plain that the heart is what? Is deceitful. It deceives the possessor. And, you know, you're the only one that knows, absolutely, for sure, where you are in that relationship. It's easy in a culture like ours just to kind of skate through and take it easy and be nominal. It even happens in ministry circles. And I believe the Holy Spirit would just say to you today, just be honest about the quality of your relationship with Him. And this is a wonderful day to put things in their proper priority and order and get that right. So that when you use that name, you have every authority and right to use that name because you're using it out of a relationship of love with God. So all over this building, as you're just thinking about these things, you know, you say, you know, Pastor, my relationship is not where it needs to be. Just lift your hand right now. I'm not condemning you. But just lift your hand, and I want you to lift it up high. I want you to make sure that you are responding to this. My relationship is not where it needs to be. But when I leave here, I want to do business. Amen. The Lord sees your hands, and He desires to apply His mercy and His grace. I tell you, there's a special touch of His Spirit today for those that are realizing they're not where they need to be. You do not want to miss out on that opportunity. This is a business between you and Him. But you're admitting your relationship is not where it needs to be. What a wonderful opportunity to settle things. The name. Amen. Now, Lord of the building, I want you just to pray this with me. Say, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I recognize my relationship with the Lord is not where it needs to be. I thank you today for fresh starts. And new beginnings.
I understand.
I need to be able to speak that name
with
great honor
and great love.
But my relationship is not where it needs to be. So, Lord, I repent of that.
I repent of
putting anything honoring anything
or
anyone
above you.
I ask your forgiveness today.
I ask you for a new
beginning.
I do believe in my
heart.
God raised you from the dead.
And I say with my mouth,
Jesus
is Lord.
I understand
today
more than ever
what
that name means,
what
that name possesses,
what
that name can do.
So here's
my life.
Whether I live
to be 100,
150,
something
in between,
every
day I have left,
I'm walking
with you.
Every moment,
I'm walking
with you.
In
Jesus' name,
I endeavor
at this
moment
to get things
right.
So I declare
my life
is right.
My life
is yours.
And now
I can cry out,
Jesus,
with
that honor
and
that love
and
that appreciation
and
that faith
and
that boldness.
Now
come on, everybody,
cry out that
name. Just
shout out
that name.
Jesus,
bless you.
Thank
you, Lord.
Amen.
Now they're
going to
sing this
chorus
again.
And I would
invite you just to
come into this altar
area for
a time of
worship and
a closing
prayer
in a minute.
But just
press in here
to this
altar area.
And do
so with that one
thing in mind,
that
name.
Amen.
Glory
to God.
Go ahead and
step out now.
Bring
that heart of worship
with you. If
you're physically
able, find
a place.
Press
in here from
side to side.